Welcome to All Well Stands Radio Show. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. You can visit the website at allwellstand.org. You can hear this show and other shows that have been broadcast prior for the Back to the Basics radio program by clicking on podcasts at the website. So this is a continuation of last week's show, talking about heaven. I don't think it's going to take the whole show. In fact, I'm going to leave a few minutes to talk about the Lord's Supper and baptism, and we're just going to briefly touch on that. So let me continue where we left off. Now, where is Jesus? So, well, he is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And once again, if you have, for those who are taking notes, you can always get this as an article form by going to the website and just searching heaven. It's a whole article just titled Heaven. But I also am going to be handing out some extra verses for people who want to dig a little bit deeper. Anyway, Philippians 1:3, Hebrews 8:1, Hebrews 10:12, etc. At that very throne in heaven spoken about earlier. Now, let me go over Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so persistently harasses us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, emotions of peace and joy can be expressed in heaven. Consider these great things and ponder upon such a thing to be bestowed upon those who love him. And you can take a look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. Think about these interesting tidbits of the Bible. Luke 15:7, portion of that says, "Will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents." And Luke 19:38, a portion of that says, "Peace in heaven." Now, we know that God the Father and God the Son, which is Jesus, are in heaven. But what about God the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, also called the Holy Ghost in the King James Version, Bible version? We can clearly see that the Holy Spirit was sent from heaven from this tidbit of a verse. 1 Peter 1:12 says, "Holy Spirit sent from heaven." Pretty obvious, right? As well as the fact that there are three that bear witness in heaven. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." Lest someone say that Jesus is just at the right hand of God, you can look at Acts 7:55, as well as a parallel for those who can see. We can clearly see that that is where Jesus went after dying on the cross for our sins. Once again, we just went over a verse, but Hebrews 12:2, 2 Corinthians 5:21, 1 John 4:10, and I will read Luke 24:51, which is, "And it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." Clearly, where Jesus resides, John 3:13 says, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven." As Jesus himself said in John 6:38, "For I have come down out of heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Now, for the wicked, for those who are not saved, there is coming a time of great tribulation upon the earth. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 speaks of it. "Whereas if those days were not shortened, no flesh would be saved alive." We can learn that from Mark chapter 13, verse 20. For the Bible also says that there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Luke 21:11 alludes to that clearly. Now, for the saved, heaven will be our dwelling place, and the Bible makes that quite clear. 1 Peter 1:4, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Now, I kind of just pondering out loud here, reserved in heaven for you. And, you know, we talk about some of this stuff is a mystery. We simply don't know. But, you know, everyone talks about going to heaven. Okay, obviously we go to heaven and we go to be with Christ. But you also have this new Jerusalem coming out in Revelation 21. You see, I mean, is that what's reserved? Or it's a big question. something that, you know, God gives us some interesting details about heaven, and something I'll just throw in here. We obviously, there's a lot of mystery because it's something that we don't really need to know, do we? We know what we know, which is quite interesting, fascinating, and something to look forward to. But we don't need to know all the details. Right now, we are in these bodies of flesh, and our focus is on Christ and doing His will. Okay? So, continuing. Also, the following tidbits of verses speak of this as well. 2 Corinthians 5:12, dwelling place. John 14:3, prepare a place for you. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and thus we shall always be at the Lord. Finally, Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. A couple of interesting things about heaven. The Ark of the Covenant in heaven. Take a look at Revelation 11:19. Big question here, okay? This is a big question. Is this the same one that people have been searching for? Or a copy? And you can take a look at Hebrews 8:5. For there is a temple in heaven, Revelation 11:19 and 16:17 says that. Now, speaking briefly of the tribulation, that will end with two more things. This will end. One being armies in heaven, and you can take a look at Revelation 19:14, as well as flip to the Old Testament to Daniel chapter 4, verses 35, regarding the Battle of Armageddon, which is spoken about in the Bible in Revelation. One place here is Revelation 16:16. But let me go ahead and go over Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 21. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and pure, followed him on white horses. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he might strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of the heavens, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of commanders, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the king of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he led astray those who received the mark of the beast and those who did homage to his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded out of the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Now, finally, there will be a new heaven, and not just a new earth, as mentioned a bit earlier. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Mark 13:31. Will you be there? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 11 through 12 says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tent of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end of it is the ways of death. Okay, so there's a lot more that could be said, but that is the Back to the Basics program, which we actually, I think we covered more than the basics. I think we covered, honestly, probably the basics for most people would be there are streets of gold and mansions. That is really, my whole life is about all I've heard. We could speak about how Jesus says that they do not marry nor are given in marriage. So things are not the same there, you know, that will be like the angels. And so there's more to it. But for that, you know, that will have to be a study that you should partake on yourself by using, you know, like a Strong's concordance and you know, a good Bible version and take a look into these things or find a good church that you can ask. And so we're going to now talk about that. So The question is, and I'm speaking to, I can speak to people here in the United States. Obviously, this show is broadcast over Africa. People around the world can listen to this show via podcasts anywhere. So the same applies to you. Now, the question is, if you're wondering, if you happen to hear from this, you're wondering, well, I wonder if there's a group of believers or a church in your area. How do I know that it's a good one? Well, if you're a babe in Christ, or you're just looking to go to church, or you're growing in Christ, and, you know, we all, well, I'll explain it to you briefly. So Ephesians 4:14 says, well, okay, let me start off with verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the full true knowledge of the Son of God, to a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every individual does its part, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So, yes, you know, there are things that there are good pastors who hold some bad doctrines. I wouldn't say that I have everything absolutely correct myself. You know, by no means. And I've never met somebody who I would fully 100% agree with. There was one, my mentor, and I had one little point that I always felt was a little off. And it was a very minor issue. It was more of an attitude. And, you know, but it comes down to, and there are little things, like, for instance, speaking of that same gentleman, this in my eyes, a very great guy, there is a lot of rewards for, Paul Becker. And I'll tell you, I remember asking him, this is a different issue, oh, well, does the Antichrist have to be Jewish? Nobody knows at all. Oh, and he's like, well, it would make sense, wouldn't it? You know, but it doesn't necessarily say. Well, and, you know, in doing some of God's work, I came across a verse, and I'm not going to get off too track, and it's God of his fathers. And so right there was an answer. And it's something we don't all know at all. Okay, nobody knows at all. It's a lifetime of learning. But when we're young in the faith, for instance, I used to listen to Christian rock when I was younger. Like high school and then a little bit after high school, and it was actually the same guy, Paul Becker. We went back and forth for a while, and he took the time with me, and eventually, yeah, I looked at the Bible. I, you know, made sure these things were so, and he won, and that was the beginning of our friendship. And you know, and so, I mean, there are things that we will all get carried away with, especially when we're young believers. I mean, and this is why we, you know, Acts 17:11 would come to mind. It's something that every believer should know. You need to test what I say, what everyone says, against the Word of God. And of course, it has to be a good translation. So, but there are some things that we can do to find a decent church in our area if you need to find one, if you're looking for one. There are some tests. And one of them would be, we're going to talk about the two ordinances in the Bible. One of them is the Lord's Supper, and the other one is baptism. And I want to remind you, this is the Back to the Basics program. So if you're listening to this and like, well, he's not spending, like, you know, going over everything, he missed this. Yes, I mean, honestly, limited on time here, and we're going to go over the basics of these things. So let's go over the Lord's Supper first, because that's one, especially in Africa, that you'll see, as well as many other places in the world, because you deal with Catholics in your area, and they have big churches, and they have priests, and they have smoke and censers, and, you know, they got quite a show going on, and a lot of people will have seen it, especially if you live in a place like Ethiopia. You'll have seen it, and, you know, So how do we know? Well, let's just start off by talking. There is a difference between the Lord's Supper and from a biblical perspective. Okay. And this is one way to easily root out many churches. And I say this, and this is really predominantly to Africa, but this could be everywhere. When you deal with other countries in certain areas, there isn't, America has 50 flavors of churches. So there's a lot of bad churches that might kind of do the right thing with these things. But in other countries, there is night and day. And there's very few churches that will do things the way I'm going to tell you that they should be done according to the Word of God. So, we'll go over the Lord's Supper. You get a piece of bread, you pray, you eat that in remembrance of what the Lord did on the cross. With it, same thing, you get a cup of, it's usually juice, it's usually grape juice in the United States. It could be a small cup of wine in other countries. However, and you get this, it's a small cup, you get that, and you drink that in remembrance of the blood of Christ, and you do that in remembrance of Christ. Now, there's a little bit of, there's a difference. If you, other places, like for instance, the Catholic Church is actually a sacrament. Not just anyone can walk in there and do that. You have to be, quote, approved. It's also called Mass. And so when you see those terms, sacrament and Mass, you probably need to run. Okay, you're probably in the wrong area because it becomes more than what it is. How often does one have to do it? Well, technically speaking, a church could do it every week. I actually ran across a church online looking into a church that did it like pretty much every week, and they would even, you could even pay if you couldn't make it to church, say you're in the hospital, nursing home, and pastor would come there and bring it to you. And I think it costs money. And then, you know, you had to be a member. And I mean, the membership thing, you know, I mean, we're not going to get into great detail, but almost every Baptist church will, I've actually went to Baptist churches that will chide you if you're not a member, but they will still offer it to you. And then some just simply won't. And, you know, we'll let God judge on those things at the judgment seat of Christ. But let's go ahead and now turn our attention to the Bible and just finish up talking on that. It's just back to the basics. It's one thing where, you know, it will allow you to see the difference between biblical teaching on these two ordinances, the baptism and that. So when you go to a church, if you go to a church and they're not doing things right in this way, you probably just need to continue seeking God and find a church that is. So let me go ahead and go over that passage. Okay, so we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. And we're going to start with verse 23. For I received from the Lord that night, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken on behalf of you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, let me put a warning out here that the Bible has. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup, this is verse 27, of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not making distinction regarding the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many have been put to death. So, yes, that is a passage going over that. So now let's go ahead and talk about baptism. Okay. Now, baptism is a different manner. Well, we're going to open with a verse here real quick. Okay. So part of what is called the Great Commission, and the very end of Matthew, we'll just go ahead and go to Matthew 28, verse 19. Go therefore and instruct all the nations, immersing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So what we run into here is this is an easy one. Even in the United States, it's easy. In fact, it wasn't that long ago. I actually didn't realize that. So I was saved at the age of 9 in a Nazarene church. I had a really good Sunday school teacher. And there had been calls, you know, to come up. And one day I remember sitting up in there, and I finally, the Lord got my attention, and I went up front. And I, you know, my Sunday school teacher helped me, and I repented. No longer wish to do those things, and I wish to just, I believed under Christ as my Savior at 9 years old. Yes, in a Nazarene church, right? There are some who, you know, and I understand the Nazarene church, you know, I mean, people, I've been asked by Baptists, some of them a little bit more, I'll just call it rude, because it is. And it's, well, what do they believe? Well, actually, I've looked into them. There's a lot of different ones. They've changed over the years. Like, even the Southern Baptists have changed. I mean, talk about what they believe. I mean, the Southern Baptists, they believe in easy believerism. So you have a lot of people, they won't question that, but they should. And I speak of independent Baptist churches, of course. But the thing is I didn't know at 9 years old what they believe. And you might not know everything. If you, you know, once again, if you have questions about salvation, please visit the website, allwellstand.org. So I didn't know everything at 9. I didn't even come close to knowing everything. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I knew I eventually wanted to give my life to Christ. And it took a little bit, even at 9 years old. I don't know how long. And then, but afterwards, I was baptized. And the one thing I never realized, because to me it was completely normal, and I've actually never went to a Catholic church service. So I've been in Catholic churches, but I've never actually went to a mass. Never had anyone invite me, never had the opportunity, even though I had a lot of family. Well, it's my wife's family down in Chicago region who were Catholic, just never seemed to work out that way. And that never was invited. And anyway, so after I got saved that summer, there was a little lake. This is in Lansing, Michigan. And Crooked Lake, and the pastor, Pastor John Carr, he did baptisms. And there was a few of us, and I was one who went on to the lake. And yes, I got baptized in Crooked Lake in Lansing, Michigan. And it came down to, you know, I was dunked underneath water, back up. You know, afterwards, I went to a missionary church, and now that I think about it, I don't remember if they ever did a baptism there. I also went to a Pentecostal church, and I think they may have done one, and they might have actually did immersion, too, and they might have actually dunked them, but I don't really remember. And then, so, but, you know, and afterwards, I went to a bunch of Baptist churches, and they all just did it. And so, I wasn't aware that there's all these churches at the time. I wasn't aware all around, all these different denominations who don't believe that. In fact, even nowadays, there's three different beliefs with the Nazarenes. There's sprinkling of water. You know, they have different beliefs of infant baptism, which the Bible doesn't teach. And, you know, and then some Nazarene churches still do the immersion. But their organization allows it to be a pastor church by church basis. They no longer can, you know, come to the conclusion of what the Bible teaches. So that's one of the things here that you can look out for pretty easily is, do they baptize by immersion? I have a good friend who is a pastor down in Colombia, and so all he does, and I'm not sure what he does with, he has a newer church now too, is he just has one of those big old pools with the side, fills it up with water, because they don't have a baptismal. And then, so when he does baptisms, either he does them in, sometimes in the river too, but if he's going to do them at church, he'll just blow up one of those, fill up with water, and right there, dunk them completely underwater and bring them back up. And it's a lot of kids, you know, sometimes, and where he preaches, it's in poor neighborhood, and the kids, they have a receiving mind. It's almost all Catholic, you know, or they just don't go to church at all. But anyway, let's go ahead and go over some of the verses about baptism and just touch up on that very briefly. So this is speaking of, this is Peter answering. These are some people who were amongst some of the first Gentiles. The Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles. Peter was used for this. So Acts 10:47, these people, you know, they're saved. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be immersed who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be immersed in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Acts 10:47-48. Okay, so let's go over one more thing. So, then the Spirit, this is Acts chapter 8, verse 29. We're going to finish up with this. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to his chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he summoned Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture where he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came upon some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being immersed? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, it is lawful. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he immersed him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went away his way rejoicing, or on his way rejoicing. So there's the key. He went up out of the water. So he went down into the water, Acts 8:38. He went up out of the water. Okay, so just let's get that quite clear. He was dunked underneath water. And that's the important part. So what is the requirement? What's a prerequisite for taking the Lord's Supper? Well, obviously, you're going to be saved. What's a prerequisite for getting baptized? Likewise, salvation comes first. Do you... if you don't get baptized, if you can't find anyone to baptize you, should you worry about it? No, you are not in danger of hellfire whatsoever. Should you get baptized, if you find a person who is actually used by God and it's done in a proper manner by another true believer, particularly a pastor of like a Baptist church or something, or another church that is actually true to God's word, absolutely, you should. But it is, there are people who teach that if you don't get baptized, then you're not saved. That is completely incorrect. But baptism and the Lord's Supper are two things. So another thing, another sign that we could use to look in about the Lord's Supper as a false church might say call Holy Communion. And those are pagan roots. There is nowhere is that found in Scripture. Really, calling the Lord's Supper would be the... That's what I will do. Holy Communion, you know, that's a Catholic thing. That started with its pagan idolatry, that organization. So, now, however, now that we talked about this, what you can do is you can go to a-voice.net. It doesn't work for everyone. You can download a whole website. It can answer almost every question. Also, you can go to wayoflife.org. It's a great resource, and you can I can safely send you there. The man is not going to purposely lead you astray. And there's a lot of good resources on there, too. There's also, if you go to the Christian Resource Center at allwillstand.org, you can take in, and there's free books, and there's books on the side of the main page. And please, download this stuff, read it, study it, you know, and get the material you can get, because it might be in the area you're at. There just isn't much, okay? And the Lord will help you out. But salvation is the first step. Without salvation, you know, there's no hope for you in the end. So consider that. The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Well, until next week with the final show, have a good week.